Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I have been ministering for some time on the whole area of that song that says, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And last week, if you was here, you will know that the overhead projector didn't work. And so I had to get up into the loft, and that song kept coming round back to me. I'm no longer a slave to fear, because I don't like heights. I don't like much of anything, really, but I don't like heights. And it may be simple, but just doing something out of my comfort zone, I, like Clive has already testified, needed God to come in and take over. I want to start with a scripture that we used last week, and it's this one here. It says, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground, or in some translations it says fallow, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Now, righteousness is a right standing with God, and that's what we need. And I've just written Danny's name down here because Danny is a young man that's just come to faith, and this is what the gospel is all about. He asked me before the service, he said, so how did you become a Christian? And I had the privilege of just sharing my testimony. And we both lived in the same area. We both have the same frailties within limits, because there's things that you've been addicted to that I haven't. But the truth is still the same. God so loved the world that he came for Danny, and he came for me, and he came for you. And when Clive shared the testimony of how God had brought him through this week, how it had been trial and tribulation, and Clive admits himself that he had to step outside of his comfort zone. And at that moment, that was when God underpinned who Clive is in Christ. He's a child of God. And then Clive testified earlier and said, and then God blessed me with Danny, and we're in the river and we're baptizing. That's what the gospel is all about. And Clive didn't know the message I'm bringing today, but actually he summed it up in his testimony about finding the lost and baptizing the lonely, and about discipling, because Clive and Michelle have invited Danny into their home. And until Danny gets a place for the future, they're discipling him. So one of the things that I said to Danny was, and I'll repeat it to us as a church, the enemy, the devil, comes to rob, steal, and destroy. God comes to bless and to build us up. He comes to direct us, and he comes to correct us as well. And correction is a good thing. So I trust that you'll get the theme that I want to bring by using these scriptures. Last week, we looked at soil. We looked at different soils, and we used the parable of the sower, although we could really say it's the parable of the soils rather than the sower, because the sower sowed the seed was the word of God, the soil is our hearts. So when God's word is planted in our hearts, it's about what soil are we. And the challenge last week was, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? Hard soil, soft soil. Hard heart, soft heart. If we're hard-hearted, the seed, God's word, it won't grow. But if we allow God to soften our hearts, and as I was looking at this bit about softening the hearts, I had that picture of the scripture that says, we are the clay and he is the potter. And the clay is softened so it can be manipulated and shaped and formed. And so I believe that what God wants for his children are soft, pliable hearts, so that when his word is sown, it germinates, it produces something. And it talks about a harvest. It says, if it's a soft heart, God's word produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 times. The parable of the sower says, the seed is God's word, the soil is our heart. In this scripture here, it says quite a lot if we take time to read it and let it digest and let God speak to our hearts. But I've put together one or two scriptures just to minister to us from. And one of the things that I'm blessed with, and this may sound a strange statement, we're now able to record what we say. So there's times that I can look back on what God has said through me and I can get blessed as well. And I urge you that if God is speaking to you through any of the messages that we bring, that you listen to him again and say, God, speak to me. In Zechariah 7, verse 12, they made their hearts as hard as flint. This is a scripture that we brought last week. And they would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit. Although from the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. Let's say he wasn't happy. Then it said something else in verse 13, and I hadn't seen this last week, that's why I want to bring it again afresh today. It says this: God's people, 13 don't say this, it says that. God's people were blessed. They understood who God was, the God of miracles, the God of mercy, the God of justice. They understood this God, and yet they rebelled. And the Bible talks about rebellion being witchcraft. They rebelled and they started to worship other gods. And we get to this portion of scripture here. And in 13, it says this: when I called the Lord, Lord says, when I called, they did not listen. When they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. So when God called to his people didn't hear him. When the people called to the Lord didn't hear him. There was something that separated them. What was it? I'm glad you asked. So now I can go on to Genesis. In Genesis, I'm using these scriptures as a backdrop, but they're still truth. Genesis, it talks about the man and the woman. It talks about God's creation. It talks about the garden. It talks about the things we can have and the things we can't have. And what's happened is, Adam and Eve, they've taken and partaken of the things they shouldn't have. They've been disobedient. And in verse 8, I want to pick it up, and it says this: then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. There was an intimacy. There was a relationship. God was walking in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord their God, among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? There was something that had happened within Adam that had caused him to hide from God. Now it says in the next verse, in verse 10, that he answered him. He said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. What was it that caused that fear? What was it that caused him to hide? Well, if we go back up a bit, it talks about sowing righteousness. And righteousness means to have a right standing with God. And the thing that separates me and you from God is sin. Sin separates. Sin comes to destroy. It comes to enslave us. And just using that song again, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. But you have to be a child of God in order to not be a slave to sin. Does that make sense? So when we look at our journeys, there are things that I believe, small things, sometimes we can call them foxes. The little foxes will come in to rob and steal and destroy. And sometimes the enemy will come in to rob, steal and destroy. Sometimes our own selfishness will come in to rob, steal and destroy. But God reminds us through this prophetic word in Hosea 10. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. There is a fruitfulness that I believe that we can walk in. Break up your unplowed ground. And when I looked at this scripture, it also says, break up your fallow ground. And what I find interesting about fallow ground is this. Fallow ground is ground that hasn't been cultivated for a while, so it's hard. And last week, we brought the illustration of the corners of our lives, the bits that we don't want to touch, where we say, God, you know, you can have all of this, but don't touch that. You can have all of me, but don't touch my pride. Don't touch my finances. Don't touch this part of my life, the unforgiveness or whatever it may be. Don't touch this part of my life, and we enable it to go hard and we think that's a bad thing. And at times it is. But when we look at this portion of scripture, it says, break up your unplowed or your fallow ground. Now, fallow ground is ground that hasn't had anything grow on it for a long time. So it's full of nutrients. It's full of goodness. Because all the soil around it is good, it's producing, and then there's one area, one field that's laid fallow. And the farmers, I think, Andrew, the farmers, they will leave certain fields to lay so they can replenish, so that when they're cultivated, they produce an even greater harvest. So the encouragement for me and you today is, Last week, we shared about the hard ground, the hard parts of our heart. This time, I want to share about the hard parts of our heart, but they're unplowed ground. And if we will seek the Lord until he comes, he will shower his righteousness on you. So if we will allow God to cultivate those areas, those untouched areas of our lives, then he will shower his righteousness on us. We will have a right standing with him. Something that I wrote, because this is seamless, something I wrote earlier was this: we're saved to serve. And we can use it in a poetic way, but I think it's the truth of the Bible. We're saved to serve. We're saved to serve others. We're to bring good news to the poor. The poor are those that have been impoverished by God's word. We're saved to serve. And if we can plough up our uncultivated areas of our lives, then I believe as God enables us to bear fruit, then we'll be able to serve others in the way that God has served us. It says in Matthew 13:8, still other seed fell on good soil. Now, this is a parable I was talking about. This is that story of the different soil types. And it says this: it produced a crop 160-30 times that which was sown. Well, for me and you, God wants to produce a harvest in our lives. For some of us, it'll be 30. Some it'll be 60. Some it'll be 100. The Bible says, he that has much, much will be expected. So when we pray and God answers, he expects us to do something with that he's given us. If he's put his word, his seed into our hearts, and we've said, Lord, come and create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, then there will be a challenge because God has saved us to serve. And the message I want to bring today is about God's goodness, so that we will take on board who we are and what God has called us to do. I'm going to leave those scriptures up. And it says in Zechariah 7:8, and the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah, a scripture that I used last week. This is what the Lord Almighty says: administer true justice. So for me and you, and there again I was chatting earlier and saying, it's not enough just to say I believe in God. It's about what we do with that. So for you and me as Christians, the challenge today is, are we good soil? And are we those that will administer true justice? That we will show mercy and compassion to one another? Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless or the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. There's a mandate for me and you. As we have received from God, he's called us to give. He's called us to have a heart transplant, to have a soft heart, a supple heart. He is the potter. We are the clay. In Isaiah 56:6, it says this: is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? God is talking about, you can fast in a religious sense. You can give your finances in a religious sense. You can turn up to church in a religious sense. You can speak the right words in the wrong context. You can act as if God is our savior, but if we don't live it, then the world around us won't receive it. And for me, when I was a young Christian, one of the things that disappointed me more and more was the fact that I felt hypocritical. I felt that I was a hypocrite because I didn't understand that I was being saved, that I was being cleansed and being clothed, that I was on a journey, and there was part of my old life that was still rear its ugly head. And I thought, what a hypocrite. And then I would point the finger at other people and say, you're a hypocrite too, because you don't do this or you don't do that. But when I look at God's word, when we are called to preach the full gospel, it's the good news. It means we're sinners that are saved by grace. But it means that we're on this journey and we're to be disciples, disciplined of God. And when God calls us to fast, there are times where he'll call you to give something up. And that's a good thing to do. But there's also times where God will challenge you and challenge me on our conduct. And he says this in Isaiah, and he's speaking to his church today still: is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And this is what I was saying about the testimony we heard. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide for the poor wanderer supply him with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness, the right standing that we have before God, will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So we look at the whole scripture that talks about God saying that he's given us an armor. Most of you will know that story, yes? You'll know that passage of scripture says, put on the full armor of God. One of the things that it doesn't say is about what happens behind us. But God clearly says here that when we are full of his righteousness, when we have a right standing with him, that means we get clean before him. Lord, I'm a sinner. Cleanse me, clothe me, encourage me, bless me, provoke me, challenge me, discipline me. Lord, I want a right standing with you. He looks after our back as well. So we don't have to be afraid whether we're going up a ladder or whether we're going into the marketplace. Because there's a righteousness that if God challenges you in the right way, if you receive God's word in the right way, when it comes to this Christian lifestyle, it won't be just about saying, I go to church on a Sunday. And it's important. It's important to come and share. It's important for you to share your testimony. It's important for you to come and bring your sacrifice of praise. You may have had one of them weeks where you go, God, thank you that I have breath in my lungs. Thank you that I can stand on my feet. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me food to eat. And God has done that for me and you so that we can share his good news. So I want to challenge us as a church, as we look forward, as we pray together, as we read God's word together, to say, what can we do to make a difference? One of the things I'm really challenged with at this moment is, Lord, I'm 57 and I want to make a difference. I just don't want to, and it's a privilege to be able to share with you guys on a Sunday, but I want to make a difference outside in the world. I want to make a difference when I go over to Khufu and see people that are impoverished. I want to make a difference when we share what we have with the vulnerable, the lost and the lonely. And me on my own, I can do a small amount, but with you, we can do a large amount. So I want to challenge us as a church, what can we do going forward in this season? Many of you will know our story, that God has enabled us to come through valley experiences, to stand on the heights, not to lord it over, but to serve. We've been saved to serve. So in this scripture, it says this, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. And I want to marry this up with the other scripture. The Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Here I am. So when he's speaking to you, and he says, child, where are you? So here I am. When you're speaking to him, God, where are you? Here I am. But there's one thing that will separate you and me from God, and that's sin. And we use that word, and so often we think it's a really bad derogatory word, but it's not. It's actually a good word, because without the law, we wouldn't understand what sin is. And without the grace of God, we wouldn't understand what the saving grace of God is. So we need to understand sin in order to understand his saving grace, yes? So it's a good word. It's not a good thing to practice, but it's a good word. And the Bible is clear. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And a few weeks ago, I was talking about the good news. And that doesn't sound very good, but it is good. Because if you will enable God's word to challenge you, as his word comes and you say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. What that means is the fallow ground has been cleaned out through prayer and through confession. Lord, create in me. It's been cleaned out. So when God's word comes, like it is today, it's going to fall on good soil. As it falls on good soil, it produces a harvest for some 30, some 60, some 100. And when you call, he will hear. God's not deaf. I remember some years ago, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I'm quite loud. It's a natural gift. I'm quite loud. In the church I used to belong to, apparently there's another man that looked like me. And this sweet old lady would sit at the back and she would say, which one are you? Are you the loud one or the soft one? I'm the loud one. Okay, good, I can hear you. But God's not deaf. But sometimes we think he is, don't we? Sometimes we're in a situation where we're going, Lord, help me. And we're hearing nothing. And yet we know there's areas of our lives that we've hardened our hearts to. And I bring this message because it speaks to me first. Because I'm saying, Lord, you said you're the Lord of the breakthrough. And then God's reminded me of a hard area of my life that I need to let him soften. Lord, you've given me promises, but I need to allow those promises to die in order to produce a harvest. The Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed, yes? So you may have a dream, a desire, a wish. We use them words. I wish this would happen. Lord, help me in my work situation. Lord, help me in my home situation. Help me with my health. Help me. And yet, with feeling that God's not hearing, well, maybe he's not hearing because there's something that's separating you from him. Only you know that. So for me, my prayer is, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And then at that moment, as I say, Lord, purge out the unrighteousness, that righteousness may come in. That righteousness that when I call to you, you will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing of the finger. So this spoke directly into my heart because I would point the finger at someone else, say, yeah, but you're not, yeah, but. And yet that finger was pointing back at me. And God is saying to me through this scripture that when I stop pointing the finger at someone else and saying, you should be, then God points the finger back at me and say, you can do all things, son. Get right with me. Do away with your malicious talk. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and you satisfy the needs of the oppressed, going back to the testimony that we heard, for your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the new day. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. And that picture of a sun-scorched land is a picture of land that's been baked, it's hot. But when the flood of God's Spirit comes, the water of his word is enabled to come and saturate that soil. It will soften it and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden that springs whose water will never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the old foundations. Is there something that the Lord has said to you and you think it's done, it's dusted, it's lost? Well, let the water of God's word rain upon your hard ground and let seed take root. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. And this scripture is familiar because it's another portion of scripture that we use quite often, and we'll get to that in a minute. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Here's a question. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but here's a question, and it's just a question because that's what is here. Here's a question. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, that's you and me, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Now, this is a portion of scripture for another day, but just think about it. What it's saying here in James 2, verse 14, is if someone claims to have faith. So what does that mean? Someone says, I'm a Christian, but they have no deeds. You'd say, quite rightly, but we're not saved by deeds, are we? We're saved by faith. Is that true? Well, as we look through this portion of scripture, we will see that faith that saves will do. The Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. So if I say to you that I am a hard-working family man and I don't work very hard and I oppress my family, then I'm not what I say I am. And it's the same with you and me as a church. I suggest this is quite a challenging portion of scripture because it gets to the very root of who we are. Because, and forgive me, Clive, just using Clive testimony as an example, he could have said, Lord, I need your help with this dissertation, and he did, and God gave him help. And then when he's challenged to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give the weary wanderer a roof, he could say, yeah, but I have two daughters and that's not really a good thing to do, couldn't he? Or he could put into practice the saving faith that enables us to do good deeds. Does that make sense to you? So it's not about just saying that we have faith. It's about doing faith. If that's not too much of a Norfolk terminology. It's not just saying, it's doing. It's not just doing, it's believing. We're saved by grace and grace alone. But it's a saving grace that enables us to do. We're saved to serve. I couldn't do what I'm doing if I hadn't been saved by God's grace. And his grace enveloped me to serve. And it's the same as you. So our challenge is that if there's any hard areas of our lives, that we'll yield it to God. And that is the key. Many preachers, ministers will use the word, there's a key to prosperity, there's a key to this. Well, the key to what God has for you is that you will enable yourself to yield to him. That's the key. It's just Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's the in me bit that I want to impress upon you today. Make a tree good, it says in Matthew 12, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. So it's not for me just to pluck a scripture out and make it fit in somewhere. It's God's word. It's God's truth. It says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Have you ever been challenged with that one? I have. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. So today, our challenge is we've been saved to serve. So what is it God wants you and me to do this next season? It may be to give somebody who's thirsty a cup of cold water. It may be to give somebody who's naked some clothes. It may be to feed the hungry. It may be to give shelter to the weary wanderer. It may be to give of our finances and our resources in the way that we can serve those that we don't even know. Whatever it is God challenges us, I hope that you with me will take hold of that challenge. And first of all, say, Lord, cultivate those unplowed areas because I'm seeking you today. It says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So I want to sow good seed. Do you want to sow good seed? I want to sow good seed because this scripture says that I will reap whatever I sow. I want to try and be generous to you. And gentle and kind and encouraging and uplifting and challenging. I want to be able to do what God's called me to do so that I will get a harvest. Because God's word says that if I sow good deeds, I'll reap good deeds. If I sow generosity, I'll reap generosity. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. I heard this illustration. I'm trying to think of the name of the Francis Chan, I think his name was. He said something like this. He was preaching on the parable of the two pathways. And he said, one's broad, that leads to destruction. The other one's narrow, that leads to life. And he said, it's like this. If you imagine you've got two aeroplanes you can get on. One is first class. Every seat is first class. You can have what you want, when you want, as much as you want. But there's no landing gear. So once it takes off, it's not going to land. And if it does land, it's going to land poorly. The other one is cattle class. You're crammed in, it's a little bit uncomfortable, and you can't quite get the snack that you want, and the drinks don't seem to be very good. But it has landing gear. It will reach its destination. Sometimes we can use an analogy like that with our faith. We can choose the wide road, and it talks about the flesh, or we can choose the spirit. It says this, whoever sows to please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not be weary of doing good. So if you've been doing good and you're feeling weary, ask the Lord to water that ground, that hard ground, that you may produce a harvest of righteousness. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially one another, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. God wants us to bless one another. God wants us to bless our families. The Bible says that if we don't provide for our families, it's not a good thing. God wants you to provide for your families. But he also wants you to provide for someone else's family. At the overflow, God gives us a privilege to participate in this meal. God gives us a privilege to enable him to soften the hard areas. And maybe when it comes to the hard areas in our lives, and you might not be like me, you might not have any. It might just be me, and you need to pray for me. That there's some hard areas, but those hard areas have been unplowed so they could be very fruitful. So if I will choose to yield those hard areas over to God, allow his word to come and penetrate, to water, to soften those hard areas of ground, then I believe I will have a greater impact on society. That I won't just be a hearer of the word, but I'll be a doer of the word. Isaiah 61, the portion of scripture I was alluding to, I won't read it all out for time, but this is what the Lord called me into ministry on, and this is what this church has been built on. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me and you. God says His Spirit is upon you because the Lord's anointed me and He's anointed you. Why? Glad you asked. To proclaim good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those that grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. The portion of scripture I alluded to before. They will renew ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I want to suggest to you and me that if we will allow God's word, and that's the thing, God's word, to water the unplowed ground. To water the unplowed ground. How do we enable God's word to water the unplowed ground? By taking hold of what this prophet says here. Sow righteousness for yourselves. I can't do that for you. You can't do it for me. It's something that we have to do. Sow righteousness for ourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. So when you enable God to forgive you of your sins, then He showers His love on you. That's the fruit that God wants you to have. Break up your unplowed ground. So I don't want to point the finger at, I won't point the finger at anyone. I don't want to point the finger at you and say, you need to do better. Because in the scripture I read out earlier, it says, stop pointing fingers. Stop being judgmental. Stop speaking maliciously. But actually take this for yourself. You break up your unplowed ground. How? For it's time to seek the Lord. And that's how we break up our unplowed ground, by saying, Lord, you come, forgive me for creating me. Let this ground be fertile. Sarah, I'd like to invite you, Nigel, back if you would. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers His righteousness on us. The right standing with God. So the scripture I finished with, it's the same scripture I started with. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Question. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Read the rest of the scripture, answers on a postcard, and let God minister to you. Let him answer that question. Seamless. I want to encourage... did you want this?
Yeah.
Did you want this bit?
Yes.
There you go. I want to encourage... This is a good word, by the way. I want to encourage you by saying that you've been saved by grace, not by works. You can't do anything to separate God from you. He loves you. You can't do any more to make Him love you any more or to love you any less. But if you want some of the areas of your life to be fertile, to be fruitful, let God come and rain His word in those dark areas, those hard areas. Create in me a clean heart. Pray the prayer in. Seek God while He can be found. And when a young man or a young woman, a child or an adult, the good, bad and the indifferent comes alongside you, maybe you can draw alongside them. Maybe if there's something that you're not gifted with, we as a church can help you feed, nurture, love, encourage. Amen. Let's believe afresh that we've been saved to serve. Thanks.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.